The May edition of History Today features an article by Nigel Richardson, which looks at approaches towards the Maya in history. Can you, when we're talking about Maya civilization, where exactly is that based? We know it's Central America, but what part of Central America are we talking about that?
Well, I guess we're talking about what used to be known as Mesoamerica, which is the geographically it's Central America, but it's the civilizations that existed in pre-Columbian times in Mexico, principally, but also in Guatemala, Honduras, Belize, and El Salvador, places like that.
And what were the classic? What was the classic periods of this civilization? When did it reach its height? What were its origins?
I guess the classic period was probably AD 300 to 900. So a city such as Palenque, for example, that was when it reached its height, and that, I think that's what's generally regarded as the kind of high point of Mayan civilization.
And this includes the building of great cities, great temples, and to the uninitiated, it looks a little bit like Aztec culture.
It does. I was actually interested. I mean, I have been to these sites, extraordinary places. What interested me when I got there was to discover that there were actually literally connections with the Aztecs in terms of trade and so on, which I hadn't realised. But they're quite distinct geographically. They're quite they're really quite a long way away, mm-hmm. And they kind of their height was kind of before the Aztecs. The kind of points in history when they were the most powerful, but nevertheless there were those connections.
And when were the first encounters? I presume the first encounters with Westerners came immediately after the conquest, the Spanish conquest of the.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I mean, this is what was, again another thing I found really interesting was that the Spanish conquest, which of course was in sort of from in the 1500s, early 1500s, the soldiers of the Spanish conquest, and indeed the priests who were kind of spreading religion as a way of also converting and controlling the people, they were very familiar with the work of the Maya, and indeed recorded it and quite extensively. But after that, there was a kind of dark age when people had no idea of what these places were and who created them.
And in fact, the original encounters, they had some pretty bizarre theories about where the Maya had come from.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the kind of general feeling after the Spanish conquest, and then we're talking in Europe in the kind of, I suppose, the 17th century and onwards, was... and these were theories propounded by people who'd never been there, I remember. But the general idea was that these people, the indigenous people, were so savage and primitive and so on that they could not possibly have been responsible for these extraordinary cities and temples and so on. And therefore, they must have been the work of, for example, Egyptians. Everyone was, you know, by that stage, people were beginning to be familiar with Pharaonic Egypt, with the Egyptians or the Phoenicians or the Carthaginians or the Greeks or even the Welsh. I think people kind of felt that the Welsh might have been had a say in that in some way or another. But the one thing they didn't acknowledge was that it could possibly have been the indigenous people.
And so you get a slightly more sophisticated approach on this from around about the late 18th century. One of the people you mention is Captain Antonio del Rio, and from there on we have a slightly more sophisticated attempt to understand these cultures.
Yeah, although, you see, again, that's very interesting because del Rio, who was actually carrying out the research into this beautiful city called Palenque for the Spanish crown, he went out, he was there in 1787, but the report that he wrote was not published until 1822, so there was still a gap. There were still these kind of gaps of knowledge. But his report, which came about because there were so many travellers in the 18th century who were being regaled with tales of this fantastic city, his report was possibly the first to have a certain amount of accuracy and to give kind of credence to the notion that these cities may possibly have been built by people who lived there.
The indigenous population. Yeah. We've got some extraordinary images in history today of the city Palenque, which becomes very much the focus of the really serious research that takes place from the 19th century, mid-19th century, I suppose, onwards. And we have people like John Lloyd Stevens, who's quite an extraordinary character, an American lawyer.
I think Stevens is the key to all this. It's the beginning. It sort of represents the beginning of modern scholarship, really, because he'd been in Egypt and the Holy Land before he went to Central America. He took with him a draftsman, an artist called Frederick Catherwood, who was English, and they, between them, actually were the first people to look upon these cities with a certain amount of sort of scientific background and scholarship, and wrote about what they saw rather than what they wanted to see or expected to see.
So it's very much a kind of post-Enlightenment perspective here.
Yeah, indeed. And so they wrote, or Stevens wrote a book called Incidents of Travel in Central America, Chiapas and Yucatan, published in 1841, and I think that kind of represents the beginning of modern study of the Maya.
And the images they produced are really quite extraordinary as well, aren't they?
Catherwood, they were excellent, yeah. And the other thing that people perhaps don't appreciate these days is just how intrepid they were, because these places that they were visiting were in many cases uncharted, very difficult to terrain, didn't know what they were going to encounter. No roads, no paths in many cases. And so the achievement in actually even getting there was extraordinary, let alone once there, applying a certain amount of scientific study and thought to what they were seeing. So all in all, really, great achievement. Really.
Because they must still be relatively difficult places to reach even now.
Well, they are actually. I mean, I've been to them, and they're pretty. They do feel pretty remote, especially this place called Yaxchilan, and the only way to get there is along the Usumacinta River, which forms the border between Mexico and Guatemala. And you really do feel that you're going somewhere that no one's been before. And in fact, there's a funny tale attached to that, because there was after Stevens and Catherwood, there were all sorts of Europeans that kind of almost jumped on the bandwagon. Some of them were glory seekers, really. They wanted to be known as the first person to have discovered a place and sort of immortalised their names in that way. And there was I think he was French, a guy called Charnay. He went to a place called this place Yaxchilan, which is only accessible by river, in 1882. Really thought he was going to be the first person there, and when he got there, he found out that this Englishman had already taken up residence in the ruins. And this is a guy called Maudsley, Alfred Percival Maudsley, who's a former diplomat,
and he's a very significant figure.
He came after Stevens and Catherwood, but again, he did some great work, and his name deserves to be remembered in the same breath as Stevens and Catherwood.
And he was very much a serious archaeologist as well, wasn't he, Maudsley?
Indeed, yes, he was. Yes, yeah, yeah. He did a lot of extraordinary work. I think he made several visits, six or seven times. I think he went out and worked in all the great sites in Yaxchilan, which I've mentioned, but Chichen Itza, which is a very famous site in Yucatan, and of course Palenque, that we've already talked about.
And the investigations into Mayan culture are very much still ongoing, aren't they?
Well, I think the amazing thing that I discovered was that in the 20th century they've continued. I have a sort of personal connection with, just by chance, before I was going out to Mexico, I ran into someone at a party who turned out to be the daughter of a chap called Giles Healy. And Healy, in 1946, discovered a mine site called Bonampak, which is again, it's in Chiapas, but near the border of Guatemala. And that's remarkable for the fact that it has these extraordinary murals in a small temple. And these murals, the like of which had not been seen before, changed the academic view of the Maya. They're particularly bloodthirsty, and it made people rethink the whole idea of the Maya, which up to that point they'd been regarded as a reasonably peaceable people. But the mural showed another side to them. And for that reason, Bonham Pack is a very famous site.
And
it
Bonham...
wasn't discovered until, or discovered, by discovered we mean discovered by Westerners, mm-hmm. wasn't discovered until 1946. And these discoveries are ongoing, as you say.
And Bonham Pack, these remarkable murals that you talk about, have actually been reproduced in the National Museum of Anthropology in Mexico City.
That's absolutely correct. They've recreated the temple in the museum, and it is one of the highlights of the museum. The colours, of course, when you go to the real thing on site, the colours are faded and are damaged. And I mean, there's no substitute for the real thing. But in the Archaeological Museum in Mexico City, there is this recreation, and it does give you a sense of how they must have looked when they'd first been done, and they are absolutely extraordinary.
And of course, we had an encounter. Indeed, one that went viral, very much a global encounter with Mayan civilization, when there was talk of the Mayan calendar and the apocalypse at the end of last year. But this was actually based on proper
research. The Mayan long count, the way that they had of counting time, almost as controlling time. They had a very extraordinary attitude to time. But as we know, this was a cycle of time. It wasn't the end of time. And of course, I think people jumped on the bandwagon a bit over that. And certainly the tourist authorities are pretty pleased about it because they had a lot of extra visitors last year. But there's no question that they are remarkable places, and with one or two exceptions, Chichen Itza does get a lot of people, but the other sites don't really get that many visitors. And you can have them to yourself, and you get near to the feeling that these people must have had, people like Stevens and Castlewood and Maudsley, when they were there 150 years ago.
Well, it's an extraordinary story, and I think it's one that's still little known, this long encounter with the Mayan, as well as Mayan civilization itself. We've got some great images of both Palenque, the city, the illustrations, Cathwood's illustrations, as well as the murals. And so thank you for that, Nigel. It's a terrific read, and it's in the May edition of History Today. Thank you.
Thank you.